Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Maybe I'm crazy, but I am so glad that Game of Thrones is over.
What?
I've lots of so many things to say.
I'm kind of with you.
I'm glad. You're glad. We're all glad.
Yeah.
We're glad.
Thank you. Maybe I'm crazy.
Welcome to the Maybe I'm Crazy podcast. I'm Joy Taylor. That's Brandon Newman.
Hola.
It was a sad day. It was a sad day Sunday night. The Game of Thrones was ending, and then I watched it. Yeah. And Earl was like, "That's it," and I was like, "Yeah." Unfortunately, I wish I had some more to tell you, but I think you got the gist of the entire series.
Yeah,
there in that episode.
On the content level, everything's kind of on the same level as the NBA playoffs.
I'm just mailing it in. Those water bottles. You know what? Who cares? We're done.
Yeah,
we're gonna live through it. We'll get to the Game of Thrones recap recap in just a bit. Kendrick Perkins is.
Yes.
Did I say recap? Was that a thing? Yeah.
Freudian slip.
Mm-hmm. It happens. Kendrick Perkins is going to join us in a little bit. We will talk about the NBA playoffs. We can talk about Kyrie with him. He has very strong opinions about Kyrie. The Lakers bleep show and lots of other stuff with him. We will talk about Brooks Koepka. Mm-hmm. When is it appropriate to kiss your wife or girlfriend? When is it not appropriate?
There's an answer to the question.
Time and place. The Browns, the Giants. We'll also talk about the Lakers' dysfunction. As I mentioned earlier, I am on Team Magic. I've given up on the Lakers completely.
Don't do that. Because Magic hasn't, so don't do that.
Oh, Magic has. Yeah. Yeah, no, he has.
Whatever.
I'll explain it, but he has. He's attached to the vision of the Lakers, not like what the actual Lakers are.
Right. Like Lakers.
And we'll discuss the Warriors, who are shockingly just as good as they've always been.
God's plan.
Yes, Heller.
Gang.
I know you. Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Right, Heller's going to weigh in on that segment. He's already prepared. But let's get started with Kendrick Perkins. All right, Kendrick Perkins, thanks so much for joining us on the podcast.
We do
a little more casual around here, so you can let your hair down.
You got the car wash. They're going to do all the FS1 shows.
Yeah.
You've been here since this morning.
Yeah,
haven't you?
Yeah, we're keeping you busy.
I'm loving it, though.
Are you a coffee guy? Are they getting coffee? Are they taking care of you?
One this morning. I'm going to take another one.
Yeah, I can only do one coffee a day now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you be up late.
Tuesdays is the only day I do. I do like a cup and a half.
You don't drink that, Joy.
I know. It's just sip.
I am a coffee.
I need it. You know what it becomes? You know what it is? When you drink coffee your whole life, it's a mental thing. It doesn't even work for you anymore.
Yeah, I agree.
Right? Like, you just have to have it in order to. It's like the taste triggers your mind. Like, okay, it's time to wake up now. The caffeine doesn't even really do anything for you anymore. Anyway, so there's a lot going on with the NBA playoffs. Obviously, the Blazers just got swept. I'm not so like reactionary to the Blazers getting swept. Like I don't. It sounds weird, but it didn't seem like a as bad of a sweep because the Warriors are playing so great and Damian was hurt. Am I off on that?
No, you're on point, and I agree because the Warriors own Portland. I mean, they like over their last 16 games, they're like 15-1. So I wasn't surprised by the sweep. And this is the same Portland team that got swept by the Pelicans last year. Mm. And I said this coming into this series that, you know, obviously you get respect because Portland winning that one game 7, but Denver would have given Golden State a better run. Like, it would have went 6 games. Mm-hmm. I think Denver would have been a better series.
Took at least one of them from
them. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's over the past couple of years, it's just Golden State been having Portland number. And this team got swept last year by, I mean, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're just going to come back and be at the same level. Hopefully they'll add some pieces and get a little bit better. But, like, Damian and CJ played incredible. Like, they were fun to watch throughout this playoffs. I just didn't think that they had the ability. They don't have as much to match up with Golden State. So speaking of Golden State, everyone is saying that they are better without Kevin Durant. I mean, you just rolled your eyes. Like, I think it's a crazy thing to say. Like, you're not better without the best player in the league right now. It's just a different brand of basketball. But did we all just forget how good Golden State is, and that's why everyone's saying that?
Well, I think we live in a moment. Mm. And because just 3 weeks ago, we was just talking, we was just comparing Kevin Durant to Michael Jordan for the performances he was putting up. So I think we live in a moment. And then all of a sudden, KD go down, and now all of a sudden, oh, Steph is great. Well, we all, he's a two-time MVP. So we seen Steph go for 50 points before in numerous times. So it's not like at the end of the day, we shouldn't be surprised by this. Now, I was impressed by the win that they had yesterday just because, you know, Iggy was out. You know, with DeMarcus out and KD being out, and I thought that the role players stepped up tremendously. Looney, McKinney, I thought all those guys played great minutes yesterday. And you have to give some credit to Steve Kerr because he put the right lineups out there and he put guys in position to be successful.
Steve Kerr, I feel like Steve Kerr kind of doesn't get enough credit. Like, I was thinking about it today, like, I like to give Mark Jackson the credit that he deserves for helping to put that team together.
Right,
but what Steve Kerr has done since then, because obviously when he was out, Luke Walton, you know, was filling in for him and they kept rolling. Steve Kerr kind of at this point does deserve credit for being, at the very least, a great leader.
Absolutely, because you got to manage so many egos.
Right.
I mean, think about it. You have five all-stars on your team. Everybody have an ego. So when they walk into the locker room, he got to manage that. He got to be able to put guys on the court together and be able to help guys succeed. So at the end of the day, that's not hard. That's not easy.
Right.
I mean, you got guys over there with big brands. You know, Draymond is he's starting to build a big brand. You got Kevin Durant, who's arguably the best player in the league right now, and then you got Steph Curry, who's, you know, up there, who's Mr. Golden State. Klay Thompson in his own. Then you got DeMarcus Cousins, who also have an ego. So I think we don't give enough credit to Steve Kerr and his coaching staff, because the coaching staff actually put together the defensive schemes. We talk so much about how great Golden State is offensively, but we haven't said a word. Nobody have said a word about the defense that they played, the way they took Dame and CJ out of the game, you know, and the way Cantor was a non-factor. We all knew he was horrible on the defensive end, but on the offense, but on the offensive end, Draymond straight shut him out. Well, he couldn't even play in this series. So, you know, all the defensive schemes come from the coaching, but the players have to do it, obviously.
Yeah. Well, so Draymond, you talked about, he's been going off, has a little double-double, and he's the glue and heart and soul of this team, and you've been saying that, and he's been proving it on the court. Why can't he get going like that when KD's on the floor?
Well, I think he has. I think, in my opinion, he's been the second best player, the most consistent player on Golden State since the playoffs started. Mm-hmm. Think about it. He had a great series against the Clippers. He had a great series against the Rockets, and he just had a wonderful series against Portland. So he's been really the most consistent player.
Yeah, I think they're all just kind of shining a little bit more because everyone, all the focus is in on KD. So speaking of managing egos, you spent a little bit of time with the Celtics. I feel like I'm not saying Brad Stevens is not a good coach, because I do think he's a good coach. But I think that especially in today's NBA, it's not just about your system or being a good coach. You have to relate to players and you have to manage egos. And it's not college, and players don't have to fit in your system, and you have to work with the talent that you have, and this is a players' league. So I feel like the failure, for the most part, is on Brad Stevens for this year. I know Kyrie has gotten a lot of heat, and maybe he does deserve some of the criticism, but how much of the blame do you think falls on Brad Stevens for what happened with the Celtics this year?
I think the reason why Brad Stevenson, I think Brad Stevens would get blamed, because for the simple fact that I think the world crowned him too early.
Right.
You know, they made him into, quote unquote, the next best thing under Popovich without even winning the title. And they crowned him early. And you're right. Like I said this earlier, but it was referenced like towards older coaches. Like, it's time to get, you have to have a coach that guys going to believe in and trust. Like, it's not like back in a day where you have like an old school Jim O'Brien coaching you and you got to go. No, you have to, guys are different. Teams are ran different. Guys run the team. Owners listen to franchise players. So at the end of the day, you have to have your guys buy into your system. And you take Doc Rivers, for example. He took that Clipper team, and they bought into what Doc was saying. Doc he kind of old, but at the end of the day, he still like has some hipness about right. him. Like he got Four that hip, player, yeah. But he that. But he has swag about him. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he addressed them. You know, he gave them days off. They went to watch movies and they seen a different side of Doc that, you know, they probably wouldn't have never thought he was, you know, listening to rap music and stuff like right. that. Like, and you find different ways for guys to believe in you. So to me, it looked like watching the Celtics, there was a whole lot of different agendas and they didn't buy into Brad Stevens. And he deserves some blame.
And you got pretty vocal about Kyrie. So the reports are now that some teams are not as high on Kyrie as they were. Like, obviously, Kyrie is going to be a free agent. And he, teams are obviously going to go after him. But there's reports that some teams have eased back off of Kyrie because of his performance in this last series. I think that's nonsense. But is there anything to that, or him just being better at being a number two than being the alpha leader of the team?
Right.
Yeah.
So this is my thing. This is my take on Kyrie, right? So, former number one pick, he goes to Cleveland. Bron gone. They never makes the playoffs, right? Bron come back. All of a sudden, he takes him to the next level, takes him to the finals, win the championship. All of a sudden, you can't play with Bron. Oh, I need to leave. I want to trade. You demand a trade. The grass is not green on the other side. You want to be the man. All of a sudden, you write this big old letter, like, you know, I'm tired of being here in the text messages or whatever. You go to Boston. Now you're the number one option. You make all these promises. Oh, I'm a sign back. I'm this. You carrying yourself like you Kobe Bryant, which you're not. And it shows. So you're not a number one option. You're not a Batman. You're good with another superstar. And he couldn't take the heat. And what bothered me the most about Kyrie was that how he carried himself. Like, after the losses, it was just like, oh, okay, cool, whatever. Like, I don't care. But nah, man, it's a different world. It's just like being in LA, how Laker fans are. It's how Celtic fans are. And I played with the Celtics for 8.5 years, and it's Celtic pride is real. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a historic franchise. The fans love the Celtics. They love all their sports. And for him to go out the way he went out, I don't know. Because the last interview I heard him say, it was like, oh, yeah, the Bucks won, and I can't wait to watch them in the rest of the playoffs. I'm like, what? Like, this is what you saying after you just got eliminated? Like, I mean, he didn't step up. He didn't perform. And you could tell his teammates didn't like playing with him. I was on the outside looking in. But then Terry Rozier come out and say the same thing, so right. I'm like, oh, I was right.
He
wasn't a good leader. I mean, it's the same team. Obviously, they faced the Milwaukee Bucks. I get that, but this is the same exact team that took LeBron James Cavs to a Game 7 in the Eastern Conference Finals.
So you clearly have still a lot of deep love for the Celtics. That's fair to say. So you were with that team that had to make moves to put together a championship. They were kind of like the original, like, first big three-ish. That team. Mm-hmm.
Right.
What was the biggest difference when you added those players to that locker room? Because it's kind of similar to what's going on with the Lakers. Like, the Lakers have a young core, and they need to make some big moves to get some pieces there to be successful. And that's kind of what Boston did. So besides adding, like, veterans, what was the biggest change in that locker room that made you guys into champions?
Well, see, what a lot of people didn't understand is that before they even made the move to get KG and get Ray, you got to understand those guys were – like, towards the end of their careers. So they had already accomplished everything, from All-Star games to MVPs to whatever you want to name it. The only thing they hadn't done was win the championship. Right. So these guys were 33, 34, 32, you know. So the only thing on their mind was winning the ring. So when they came together, it wasn't no hidden agendas. And it's hard when you have a young core. And I was saying the same thing about this Boston team that – I said it was going to scare me because they have so much talent, but it's still guys that's trying to find their way.
Right.
So, you know, Jason Tatum, after coming off a successful season last year, I'm pretty sure he came into this season like, I want to be an all-star. You know what I mean? But on the '08 team, we held ourselves accountable, and we had great vets. We had James Posey, we had P.J. Brown, we had Sam Cassell, we had Eddie House, and I think the biggest thing for us was that we our training camp was in Rome and London, so we was gone for 21 days. Where it was just us. Phones weren't really.
Is that normal? Do teams normally do that, or that was like a unique thing to that team?
It was something that was going on at the time where it was training camp. We had to go to Spain because of the Bayani getting drafted to Toronto, and they wanted to do preseason out there.
So it was like the NBA did
right.
that. Okay.
And so we was able to form and, like, you know, went to the Coliseum, and we only – our phones really weren't working like that, so we was forced to interact with each other.
So you bonded.
Right, because I think if I know more about you two outside of this media stuff, then my love – go deeper, right? So right. that means I'm going to run through a wall for y'all when we get on the court. Make sense?
Yeah.
So I think chemistry forms outside of basketball, and then it carries on to the court.
So what advice would you give? Because that was something that worried me about the Celtics, too. Because like you said, they're not only do they not know their way, they're trying to get their money, right. too. And it's hard when you have a coach like Brad Stevens who's maybe having trouble relating to the players, how to put people in roles. And that's not a negative thing. Everybody has to play a role in any organization. That's how it works. Mm-hmm. So what advice would you give, say, the young core from Boston or even here in LA that are trying to prove themselves and make their money but also need to figure out how to work within an organization to be successful?
First of all, you have to be honest with yourself and know who you are. You know, and Doc, you know, I never was an all-star, but I had a 15-year career, and I never made an all-star game because I was a star in my role, and I was cool with who I was. So, meaning, Perk, be a defensive anchor, block shots, rebounds. If you get the ball and score, okay, cool. Set screens, you'll have a long NBA career. Okay, that was cool. Made good money, had a long NBA career. But nowadays, it's so hard because back then, like, men were men. Like, players were grown men. We made our own decisions. Like, I lived on my own. I traveled to Boston when I was 18. I stayed alone. Like, I didn't have extra friends and extra outsiders to tell me, to give me advice. But nowadays, guys have their own circles. So it's hard to match a group when you're hearing advice from different people outside of your outside of the team. So you could be going home and your homeboy and uncle could be telling, you know, Terry Rozier, hey, man, that's BS, man. You supposed to be getting more touches.
Right.
Then Jason Tatum go home, his pops could be telling him, man, they doing you wrong. I don't know what Brad Stevens is doing. You see what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden, it's like, there you go right there. Mm-hmm. So my own thing is that my whole thing is be your own man and control the situation. At the end of the day, you're the NBA player, not your parents, not your brothers, not your sisters, not your friends. So be your own man, control it, and invest yourself and lose yourself in the team. But be honest with yourself and just be a star in your role.
So the Lakers are a complete disaster right now. We were talking when you first came in about what's going on there. And, I mean, there's a lot of different angles that you can go with. Right now, everyone's talking about Magic. I personally have no problem with – I'm not for snitching, but – I don't really consider this a snitching situation.
That's not snitching.
Like, Magic needed to say what he needed to say because Magic's getting thrown under the bus.
Right.
And I don't like the whole thing with the laziness. I'm going to just say it. It has a little bit of a racial undertone that makes me uncomfortable. Magic Johnson is not a lazy person. He is very successful. And Magic did, he worked with the gifts that were given him. Mm-hmm. He is a big personality. Mm-hmm. He comes in a room and makes things happen. So he got a room with other successful people who, by the way, had people who they worked with to help them get successful. It's not an accident Magic is where he is, and he's getting thrown under the bus. Like, this disaster and this mess wasn't existing before him. Last I checked, Jeannie Buss had to take this organization over from her brother, who was running it into the ground.
Absolutely.
So I have no problem with what Magic said or did. It doesn't sound like you did either, but where do the Lakers go from here?
So I'm with you on that one. Magic had to protect his brand and his name, and Magic was man enough to call out. He didn't, like, it's a difference. Like, you have certain guys that are that I call cowards. That means, like, you know, they want to throw stones and hide their hand. Right. So they want to be the anonymous source. They want to go talk to a reporter on the side and say, oh, well, I'm going to call up Chris Broussard today, or I'm going to call up Skip Bayless, but I'm going to tell him, don't say it came from me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it's from him. No, he manned up and actually, oh, I'm going to go on First Take and tell you why I quit. And this is the reason I quit, because Rob Pelinka, who's been known, whose character been questioned through even when he was an agent, backstabbed him. The problem I have with the Lakers is that instead of hiring the right people for the job, they hired their friends. Mm. You know what I mean? So the connection, Kobe, Rob Pelinka, agency, hire Rob, okay, Kurt Rambis, his wife is good friends with Jeannie Buss, so we're going to keep it all in circle. Even the hiring of Magic, instead of hiring the right people for the job, you hire your friends, and that's a recipe for disaster.
Have you seen or been a part of an organization that is this poorly run before?
No, never. I mean, No, you know what? I tell you what. I only been a part of four.
Okay.
So Boston was great. OKC was absolutely great. I mean, from top to bottom. Cleveland was good. Mm-hmm. Especially, I thought Griff, who the Pelicans just got, he ran their organization at a high level. Now, the Pelicans that was ran by Dale Demps, I hated it. I hated it because Dale Demps is a liar. Mm. I'd rather you keep it straightforward. He didn't. He, you know, I never wish bad on nobody, but that was one guy that it made my day for him to get fired.
Ooh. Well, I mean, it kind of fits the narrative of what happened with the Lakers in the trade deadline, if that's what you're saying, how he got down, because there were leaks that were just impossible. It was right. as soon as a new name came up, it was out.
And you know what's crazy? The crazy part about it is he's the one that I call a coward, because when Anthony Davis and Rich Paul asked for the trade, they didn't make it public. Dale Demps made it public. So he wanted to put it out there. Instead of them handling the business, you know, under the radar, he made it public on purpose to try to embarrass AD or try to make AD look like the bad guy.
Yeah. Before we let him go, I got to talk about the transition. You talking about things taking it personal. I, on spring break, went to Miami and saw you at OKC. And you had just got there and you went off on LeBron, D-Wade, all them, and I felt the personal, because like I hear it in your voice, you came right from the Celtics, you wanted to make a statement, and you went off and you did your thing, and that personal that you bring around, like I still hear that when you talk about the Pelicans, so you always keep it real, and I just appreciate that.
Thank you, man. I just try to be, you know, like they say, keep it 100 and just try to be a good guy, man. I don't, you know, want to cause no problems, but you always got to be real with people, you know what I mean, at all times.
You do it in such a calm way, though.
I know.
I think I'm a cool dude. Everybody like, man, Perk, man, I'm a cool dude. I'm really a fun dude.
With all those people at OKC, though, you didn't hear a bunch of that? I felt like that's where you might have heard somebody, like, talking to Westbrook, like, hey, man, or talking to James Harden, like, you probably should be running this thing right now. So, like, does that happen then?
So look, I'm going to give you some insight. So I left when I got traded from Boston to OKC, right? You got to understand, I met up with a young Russell Westbrook, a young James Harden, a young Kevin Durant that just tasted the playoffs, right? So I'm leaving a team where we was all just built around championships, right? But then I get to OKC, and it's like these guys are trying to find their way. Mm-hmm. So they did have different cliques. But I was 26 at the time. So what I did was I took the leadership role from the jump, and I made guys, we hung out, period. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't no more cliques. It wasn't no more old James and Russ hanging out here, KD hanging out with this guy over here. Nah, as soon as we land in the city, hey, what y'all doing, man? We got dinner at 8 o'clock.
Beautiful. Dang.
And it translated over. Next thing you know, get better. We start making a couple deep runs. And, you know, and I told him, man, hey, man, you got to block out the outsiders. I don't care if it's your daddy, your mom, or whatever. Like, this is your job. You know what I mean? They never been in this position. So
you got to bond as a team.
Absolutely.
Well, we could talk to you for a lot longer, but we'll have you on again. Welcome to the FS1 family, by the way.
Well, thanks for having me.
We appreciate it. And you kept it real, which we appreciate. That's what we do around here.
All right, thank y'all.
It's dinner time. Mm. You've had a long day. Your stomach is rumbling and you can't decide what you're going to eat tonight. This happens all too frequently. With DoorDash, you don't need to get up from the couch to order a great meal. DoorDash connects you to all of your favorite restaurants in your city. Ordering is easy. Just use the DoorDash app and choose what you want to eat, and your Dasher will bring it right to you wherever you are. Not only is that burger place that you love on DoorDash already, but over 310,000 other amazing restaurants are too. That's a lot of restaurants. DoorDash connects you with door-to-door delivery in over 3,300 cities and in all 50 states across the United States and Canada. Order from your local go-tos or choose from your favorite chains like Chipotle, Wendy's, Chick-fil-A, and the Cheesecake Factory. So don't worry about dinner. Let dinner come to you with DoorDash. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code JOY. That's $5 off your first order when you download the DoorDash app from the App Store and enter promo code JOY. Again, that's promo code JOY for $5 off your first order from DoorDash.
We about to turn up in this bitch.
All right, what am I winning or quitting today?
The Lakers had a press conference officially introducing their new head coach, Frank Vogel, while LeBron James stood nearby with nothing to say. Vogel preached togetherness shortly after Magic Johnson went on a press run telling the world just how messy the Lakers front office is. Joy, a dysfunctional front office will keep superstar free agents from joining the Lakers. Win it or quit it?
Win it, for sure. Without question.
I told you I
RIP'd the Lakers, I believe 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
Content.
Prematurely.
Well, not content-wise. Content, they are the greatest thing that's ever happened.
Yes, very Hollywood.
As far as actual success, I've deaded that. That's not going to happen. Not in this tenure. I'm very, very, very disappointed because I went all in on Jeannie Buss. I believed in her. I thought that she had the gumption
to
run the world and get this together. Yep. And instead, we have a literal bleep show. It is the biggest bleep show in sports, maybe in sports history. Every single day, it's a new wrinkle and a new thing and a new story and a new leak and a new incredible twist and turn that literally in Hollywood you could not create because we would be watching the show like...
Yeah.
Just relax. Can we just have a conversation before the next thing happens? It would be too much. But it isn't. It's reality. It's too much. So they had the press conference. Well, first of all, we'll start with Magic, okay?
Yes.
Magic Forever, okay? That's, I mean, what can we make? Can we make a Magic Forever, like, hand sign? Can we do something?
A gang sign for Magic?
Yeah.
I'll work on it.
Like, not Wakanda Forever? We got to find something for Magic Forever.
I don't want to step into anyone else's territory trying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, making up gang signs
I'm
going to
do it off air, come in with a strong... You know what I mean?
And be convinced that you're not bothering anybody with it. That's probably smart. Right. So, anyway.
Hold on. Sorry. Is there like a database where you can
You feel
sure
like you really had to weigh in on the gang sign conversation?
Yeah,
so,
a little bit of a question.
It's a question I'm not even going to acknowledge. So, anyway. Magic decided to go full scorched earth, mother bleepers, on the Lakers.
Yes.
And particularly Rob Pelinka. They are not cool.
Not currently, well, not in the past.
Pelinka is not invited to the yacht Italy trip. So he basically said that Pelinka was stabbing him in the back, and he scorched earth the Lakers. And then the Lakers had their press conference yesterday introducing Frank Vogel. Horrible timing, great timing by Magic Johnson to have his interview before that, which was not an accident. Okay,
no.
for all of you out there trying to figure out how that happened, not an accident. Now, the Lakers knew that Magic was going to be on there, so they could have moved the press conference around, but they chose not to for whatever inexplicable reason.
Mm-hmm.
We all know whoever gets to the mic first wins. However, that being said, I'm fully on Magic's side. Now, Pelinka came out and said that everything Magic said is just simply not true. So somebody lying, okay?
That's very hard to believe.
Somebody
to
is
say
lying.
Everything, because he said a lot of different.
He said
things.
A lot of things.
Yes.
And it's impossible for everything he said to not
right.
be true. Okay, so the bottom line is this: I don't think it's Palinka's fault. I don't think it's Magic's fault. I don't think it's LeBron's fault. I don't think it's Tim Harris's fault. I don't think that it's Linda and Kurt Rambis's fault. I don't think it's Rich Paul's fault. What? I don't think it's the injury's fault. Who? I think it's Jeannie Buss's fault because Jeannie Buss is the owner of the team. You took this team over from your brother because your brother couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. So you took it. You literally said, I am taking this over. There's too much going on. And the realest thing that Magic said was there's too many voices in the room. Yep. Anytime you have too many people making a decision, it's a disaster. Now, you can have a room full of people to advise you. Lots of people have advisory boards. Most people have advisory boards. Mm-hmm. But you know what? At the end of the day, it's one person's decision. One. And it should be one person's decision because you have to have a power structure. And everybody's voice can't have a different amount of weight in the decision also. Like, who else do you go with? And like, okay, this decision, we are going forward with this. Like, you have to have, in order to have a well-run organization, it has to be in place from the top. It's not about the players. It's not about the facilities. Mm-hmm. It's not about the city that you're in. None of that matters. It's the owner and the front office.
But my caveat to why this isn't the end of the Lakers is Magic is currently talking about a lot of things that happened in the past, right? Moving forward, he says he's fine with Rob Pelinka making basketball decisions for the Lakers, if that's going to be what he is doing. And Frank Vogel, as short of a tenure as planned for him, period, what he's talking about right now is great. The togetherness, like his quote, we need to build togetherness, starting with ownership in the front office, coaching staff, players, we're all going to be pulling in the same direction. That message and that now, he may not have the time to get that actually implemented completely by the time he gets about it in 3 years, but trying and attempting that is more than anyone in that front office has tried to do up until this point.
First of all, we all know he's not going to be coaching there for 3 years because Jason Kidd is sitting right there the whole time, okay? That's one. Two, he is right. Everything he's saying is completely true. That is how you should build an organization. It's not about just getting all the guys in the court on the same page, which is hard enough as it is.
Right.
You have to get every single person from the top to the very bottom, mm-hmm. from your highest paid employee to the lowest, all on the same page with the same mantra, the same culture. That's why the Spurs are successful. That's why the Patriots are successful. That's why the Warriors are successful, yeah. because you have everyone understanding we are a championship organization. When you come to work, you do championship level work or it's bye. And that's not the case with the Lakers. It's you just come to work and then you figure out what you want to do when you get to work. And that's just the truth.
It has
so
been
I
past,
believe
yes.
that Frank Vogel said the right thing. Do I believe that that's going to happen? No, because we still haven't heard from Jeannie Buss. She needs to come out and say these are the two people. I want to hear two names, Vogel and Pelinka. I don't want to hear about nobody else. I don't want to hear about no Tim Harris. I don't want to hear about no Rambuses. I don't want to hear about LeBron. I don't hear nothing else.
Rich Paul.
And LeBron has rightly distanced himself from it because this is not LeBron's mess. This was messy way before LeBron got here, and this is not his responsibility, and he did not damage this. Luke Walton was not Magic's guy. Magic wanted Luke out. Magic wanted to fix things. Whether his ideas were the right ideas or not, somebody had to have ideas and make a decision. So I'm fully on Magic's side. He had every right to come out and say what he needed to say. And just kick it with the lazy shit too. Magic Johnson is not lazy.
Yeah.
Hello? How do you think rich people get richer? Do you think that they're like in their offices, like, we've been here for 6 hours, it's not enough time? No, it's they go to golf together or they go have a scotch and they make business deals together and then they go make them happen and then other people do the work. Hello, Magic Johnson got rich and famous from working very hard at playing basketball and making connections. That's how it works. So everyone's like, oh, like Magic, you know, he's just really privileged. Magic is not privileged. And more importantly, Magic has the one thing that everybody else doesn't have. Magic. There's a reason they call him that. That's not his real name, okay? The reason they call him that is because he can walk into a room and make shit happen. You can't pay for that. There's no college degree. Here's your make shit happen degree. Congratulations, you're going to be a billionaire. No, it's not how it works. So this whole idea like, oh, he didn't really know what his job was. He thought he was going to do what he did with the Dodgers. He's a 0.01% owner of the Dodgers. Of course, all he has to do is show up and shake hands and make them elevated in their marketing. He absolutely tried to do his job there. He always said he was going to do other stuff, as he should. And guess what? All those other rich people that run that stuff, they do other stuff too.
Completely understand. And there was a conversation about how much he would be around already in place. That's why it felt backstab-y. But the person you're saying is at fault is the one who put Magic Johnson in the position of power. So was that an issue? Or is Jeannie need
no, to... No, but she didn't put him in a position of power, which is the point, which is his problem.
Okay, that's fair.
She hired him, and then she was like, what? You can only make 5 decisions this month.
Okay, yeah.
And then Tim Harris has 1 decision to make, and we have to save 2 of these for Lyndon and Kurt. It's not how it works. You hire a president, you give him the title, he makes the decisions. That's how it works. It's a power structure everywhere in life for a reason. If you don't like it, go be the man yourself.
People are working on it.
I don't know. It's a disaster of epic proportions.
It looks good in the future, though.
No, it doesn't. It looks exactly the same. It's still a complete and utter disaster. All right, what's next?
The Warriors are going back to the finals for the 5th straight season, despite not having KD, Boogie, or Iggy available. Golden State finished up their sweep of the Blazers Monday night behind a historic double-doubles from Steph and Draymond. Joy, the Golden State Warriors are the greatest NBA team of all time. Win it or quit it.
Oh, I'm going to quit it.
No, there's no way you can. Statistically, they are. Like, they just are.
I'm going to quit it, but...
The Boston Celtics, when there's 9 teams in the NBA?
I think...
like, they are. I don't like it.
Well, first of all, they've been in the discussion for a while now, obviously.
Yes.
I think what they're doing in this particular run, like, we've talked about it all year. Like, okay, we already know the Warriors are going to win the West. Like, mm-hmm. Who's going to win the East? And they're like, yay, the East is going to be so interesting this year. And it actually was. For that matter, the West was very interesting as well.
Mm-hmm.
But what they're doing feels a little bit like, oh, we forgot that the Warriors are actually very, very good to quite good without Kevin Durant. Now, they are better with Kevin Durant. So stop saying that they are not as good. I mean, that they are better without the best player in the NBA. It is, and it's actually more enjoyable.
That's what we're going
to
get around.
And it's nice to be able to appreciate Klay and Steph Curry.
To see Draymond.
And Draymond's Draymond's just balling. Like,
but you just see him win and spin. He couldn't do that with KD in the mix, clearly.
Yeah, I wasn't missing that. But it's nice to see that Draymond is playing well. Draymond's playing well. I'm going to give him credit. He's playing well. Great, actually. But the point is, everyone making this whole to-do about... like how the Warriors were done when KD went out. The Warriors lost to LeBron in Game 7. They were 1 Kyrie shot away from winning that championship. Everyone acts like they got swept in the finals or something.
And a LeBron block.
And I understand that. Okay, all right. It was a block made for 2. Like it was like okay. I'm with Skip on that. He had some help. It wasn't like
okay.
You know.
Okay.
But anyway, it was a very nice block. Okay, all time great block. Whatever. Great. The point is, it was not like it was like this disaster. Okay.
Right.
The disaster was they were the greatest regular season team of all time, so they should have won that championship. Obviously, right. That was obviously the discussion. But when you look down at like the greatest teams of all time, obviously, you know, it's the Bulls of the 90s are in that conversation, is Jordan. The Lakers, all through the 80s, 5 championships, 9 finals. Mm. I mean, Kareem, Magic, James Worthy, Bob McAdoo, like Pat Riley.
Kurt Rambis.
He was on the team.
Thank you for that.
He was on the team.
I mean, the Celtics, like, you're right. There were all of 5 teams. I mean, I'm not discrediting their championships. It's great.
Is it, or does it sound like the startup of a company?
A long drink of coffee for it. But no, I mean, it's Bill Russell. Like, it was an NBA championship, and that's all I'm going to say about it. I'm just saying, in this particular situation, you look at NBA dynasties, and you have to talk about the Spurs.
Talk about Spurs. Timmy D.
I mean, the Celtics in the 80s, too. Like, they had 3 championships, went to the finals 5 times. I actually felt the need to put the Minneapolis Lakers on there, too.
That's where they started. They were the Lakers.
Every once in a while, she knows I'm Ron Burgundy, so I'm just gonna read my notes down. The point is, I think we really need to appreciate what's happening, because for all of the Warriors hate that people have spewn over this whole run, it's pretty incredible what the Warriors are doing. And I'm with you. Like, I'd like to see another team win a championship, but I also don't want to be that person who didn't appreciate greatness when I was watching it. And like, they are really, 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 really incredible.
Okay, rooting for greatness and appreciating are 2 different, very different things. I appreciate Tom Brady's greatness. I recognize it. I speak on it.
I only just now recently appreciated it. For 98% of his career, I hated it.
Well, that's a good point, because right now, you could argue, is the same tipping point for Tom Brady as it is for the Warriors. A 45-year-old Tom Brady, what's he going to do next? A Warriors, they're going to their 5th straight finals and could lose Kevin Durant and a lot of the pieces on that team. What are they going to do next? So the Warriors as a basketball team being dominant and the greatest team ever, I don't think it's debatable. It's boring, but it's not debatable.
It's definitely debatable as the greatest team ever, but they are pretty incredible. And I think if they lose KD and still win another championship, I think it's just a lock.
Like, they won with done. A G League team last night.
I mean, kid, what are you talking
there
about?
There were some G League that is players
so, that is
on
such,
the on the starting lineup
that is
of
hot
the Warriors.
Take exaggeration.
How's it hot take? You can see that by the play. Like, there's a person that was in the starting lineup that years ago spent $175 to make the NBA.
Years ago?
A couple years. Alphonso McKinney was playing like 3-on-3 basketball for bribes in Mexico like 2 seasons ago. So it's pretty amazing
well,
he's
that
not
he's
no
here
now. Yeah, now.
I mean, that's a credit to what the Warriors are able to do and their front office is able to do. Oh, my God.
But I'm not giving – I don't care.
It's
I don't
a good
care.
Slogan. What do you want?
You can talk all you want about the
Next
Warriors.
Next man up, bro.
You talk all you want about the Warriors, but you can't talk about Steph Curry because I'm not going to give Steph Curry individual flowers for being a great NBA player until LeBron's out of the league. Because how can I? LeBron has no one and went to 8 straight NBA finals.
Has no one.
Well, according
one.
To you, Steph Curry's playing no with a G League team. So
D-Wade's no one? Come on now, bro.
We're saying, way too much for my comfort right now. But the point is, you have to give Steph Curry credit. He's played incredible. He's had over 35 points in every single game of this series. He's been unbelievable, and they are unbelievable. And I need to give credit where credit's due because they are.
Yeah, because the Portland Trailblazers were.
Woo! Okay, and small note about the Portland Trailblazers.
They
did blow a bunch
barn
of
leads. Burners.
Okay, but I will say I don't feel bad about the Portland Trailblazers. They're going to be back next year. They're still going to be good. I don't look at that as a disastrous. I mean, a sweep is a sweep. Like, it's not great. Obviously, I would have much preferred more basketball, and I thought that it would at least go 6. But this is what it is. Damian Lillard was hurt. Like, they had some pieces missing. I think they're going to be back next year and be competitive. So I'm not fully bothered by the fact that they got swept. Like, it's not the end of the world. Yeah. They were all competitive games. That's all I can ask for. Right?
No.
Okay. Well, agree, disagree. Hear ye, hear ye. Big Ben is petty. Mm. So Ben Roethlisberger has decided he has had enough time to gather his thoughts.
Yes.
He's willing to do an interview. He went on KDKA and discussed various things about what happened this season, including his radio show appearance after the loss to Denver. That's not the water bottle that we use on the show.
I know. I broke the other one, right. So we need to steal off somebody else's desk.
Right. Anyway, so that was when he basically said, like, it was Antonio Brown's fault. And he listened back to it. He didn't exactly say that, but he passed the credit around more than he needed to. Yeah. You threw the interception, and it was a bad one. If you watched, we showed the tape of it earlier today. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
No wonder Antonio Brown snapped. That was
have a point,
such
though.
A bad interception that I could see someone snapping and never forgiving you. Right.
No. The reaction afterwards, like saying, like, you should have just kept going flat. Now, he should have planned it and just went flat. It wouldn't have happened, but drifting didn't help. You can't just drift.
I'm saying Ben Roethlisberger threw it directly to the person
know,
in front of him who didn't play for his team. Anyway, so Ben
Russell
said, every quarterback has done it. That's not the point. It's not, it wasn't the worst interception of all time. It was a bad interception, but most interceptions in general are bad. Yes. So it's not the end of the world. What made it the end of the world is saying that it's Antonio Brown's fault when you straight threw a potato sack to somebody. Anyway, he said, I know I took some heat, and deservedly so. I genuinely feel bad about that. 5 months later. And I'm sorry. Did I go too far after that Denver game? Yeah, probably. And I regretted it. That's the thing about media and social media and things like that. You can't take it back. I wish I could, because if that's what ruined our friendship and our relationship, then I'm genuinely sorry about that. Antonio Brown responded on Twitter, two-face. So he clearly does not agree or have any thoughts in the positive direction about Ben saying anything. This is way too late of an apology. Like, it's
true.
I don't even know what the point of this interview was, for real, because I don't know what I expected.
Some air need to be cleared.
Did it? It's so long from now. Yeah. Antonio Brown is gone. Like, this is something that should have happened the week after. Like, have some humility. Yeah. I don't know. My whole thing with the Steelers is I'm very upset about it. Because, as you mentioned, the Steelers and the Browns are in the same conversation right now. That's unacceptable to me. Okay? The Steelers squandered Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, and Ben Roethlisberger on the same team together. Squandered it. And if you want to take it a step further, they squandered Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Ben Roethlisberger on the same team together. Because if they had figured it out with Le'Veon Bell, then they would have all played together. And by the way, you missed the playoffs last year, so don't talk to me about how Le'Veon Bell didn't make a difference or not, okay? Because right. You can talk all you want about the running game. There was a piece missing, and he didn't make the playoffs. Yep. So 1 + 1 = missed playoffs. So the point is, it is simple math,
yeah, it is.
Okay? And it's not hard. Hmm? It's not hard. They teach it to you when you're young, and then you forget most of it, and you just use a calculator on your iPhone. The point is, as I've been saying all the time, now is the opportunity for the Steelers to show that they really are completely functional. It's not on Ben. There's no noise. We've got it all figured out. Mm-hmm. It really was just Le'Veon and Antonio Brown. Well, here's your chance. I don't know what this interview did. It didn't change my opinion of the situation whatsoever. Not that I'm fully on Antonio Brown's side,
right.
But this doing this five months after the season ended, it's like, what for? And why randomly right now?
He has teammates currently on the team. They need to see him own up to something that they probably thought was foul as well. Right? So it is retroactively. Now, what we expected from AB? AB's been childish about everything since he left the Steelers, while he was with the Steelers. So him saying two-faced, like, what do you... was like, oh, thanks. It was such great to hear from Big Ben and his opinion on this. I look forward to seeing you in the AFC. I'm like, no. Like, they're competing. AB's childish. Big Ben is trying to restart what is the thing called when you change your character? You go on you're trying to change the way you're perceived.
A publicity tour?
Yeah, but it's like when you're trying to
redeem himself?
Yeah, it's like a redemption.
A redemption tour.
Opposite of a heel turn.
Babyface.
No, there's not a word for it. But Big Ben needs it. He's gonna be back.
There is a word. I just can't help you because I can't think of it.
I know he's having fun with his teammates on his lake.
No, he's like, trying to change the perception, and yes. I get it, and it's fine, and it's nice that he's making that effort. And you're probably right. That's probably what it is that everyone else on the team to know that he's trying.
This interview was at his house. I don't know how much effort that is.
Big house.
I don't have a problem with that. Yeah, I'm sure he has a nice house. Yeah, where's he gonna go? I don't have a problem with him doing it in the house. You want to do it somewhere comfortable. But I don't know. I don't know that it's changed anything perceptive outside of the team, but maybe you're right. Maybe it's for internal purposes.
It's time for Hockey Low-Key.
Hockey Low-Key. I can never know how to do this. It's never clicked. One day we'll find out how to answer this. All right. So high key, Kawhi has been incredible. Low key, I'm still right. He's definitely leaving the Raptors. Mm-hmm. So Kawhi basically has just decided that if the Raptors are going to have any chance of winning this series, he's just going to have to be the most incredible basketball player that we've ever seen in the history of the sport. And play all the minutes. He played a career high 52 minutes. Now, granted, it was double overtime.
Right.
So, you know, you have that. But he finished with 36 points and 9 rebounds and 5 assists in that double overtime win. I still think this series goes long, but I've said that from the beginning. I mean, all the games were won by the teams who were supposed to win the games, so we're not in a weird spot yet. However, Kawhi is, and he looked like he was playing injured for most of the game as well. Like
hobbled.
He clearly landed weird, and you know, there just wasn't time for that, which I also appreciate. I just think I'm glad Kawhi is getting the attention that he deserves because he kind of got hammered a little bit when he left the Spurs, and then you know he's been sitting out for a lot of games this season. It's kind of like everyone forgot how great he is, and he's having the opportunity to shine, and that it's good because he's really great. And I'm kind of, there's going to be so much movement with the free agents, obviously, in a couple weeks, and I don't know, it's weird. Like I kind of want to go to the Clippers. I just feel like him on the Clippers, they're going to be really good. And the Lakers are so very stinky right now and dysfunctional, and I just like that. And it's kind of like another notch. Like, by the way, other LA team, this is how you put together a winning franchise.
No, the competition should make the Lakers better, so come on over.
All right, next is Kevin Durant's high-key. KD is being mad disrespected right now, and low-key, I definitely think he's going to New York. So KD's injured, obviously. He had a calf strain. At least it's not an Achilles. Right. Well, I mean, calf strains take a long time to heal from.
Sure, I bet.
Listen, Earl said he had a calf strain, and he said it's very, very painful.
How long was he out with his calf
strain? The only thing, I don't know how long he was out for exactly, but he's like, you have to rest. Like, you can't, it's very hard to rehab it because part of the rehab is resting. So I don't even know if we're going to see him in the finals. We very well may not. Now, they are going to have a long time off since they just swept the Blazers.
9 long days.
But I think that all this talk about how they don't need Kevin Durant and they're better without Kevin Durant is just kind of the perfect exit strategy thing. Yeah. Not that it's strategy, but it's just it's the perfect opening door for Kevin Durant to leave. Like they want Kevin Durant to stay. They should really be out here like, we are not good without Kevin Durant. We need KD back now.
And they're still saying that, but we're Klay says we need him back immediately. Like the Warriors are acting as if this is a huge thing, and it probably is for them, but they know.
That's what I'm saying. But because they know, we know. That's why everyone keeps saying that. Yeah. Like honestly, every single interview should be like, we just miss KD. We can't wait till KD gets back. Nothing matters without KD.
Essentially is what they're saying.
No, it's not.
They're kind of hard.
I don't know. He's just definitely going to New York. I mean, it's the perfect easy way for him to be out. Like, if they had won another championship, it would be really, with him healthy, like, obviously they were probably still going to win, but with him healthy, it would have been harder, I think, for him to leave because everyone would be like, why wouldn't you just stay and try and win four? But now, they won three in a row. Well, they will win three in a row, but he's not healthy and he's being questioned about whether they even need him there. It's the perfect way for him to exit, and he's going to the Knicks, and it's going to be glorious. Finally, oh, the Browns. So, high key, the Browns are really, really sensitive, and low key, I'm truly confused as to why it's happening. So Odell went off on Colin Cowherd.
Yes.
The Herd, noon to 3 Eastern Time on FS1. You can see me on there weekdays. Yes. While I was gone,
Friday.
Mm-hmm. Odell and Baker. Odell started it, and then Baker kind of.
Colin started it.
No, he did not. Colin and I did a segment where it was like Family Feud style.
Yes.
And we just listed all the things that Odell has been linked to in his career.
Top 10 moments for Odell Beckham.
One of them was on the field.
Beckham.
Yes. Was on the field, and that was obviously the catch, which he's most known for, in a loss. And then all these other, you know, various things, like the boat trip and the fight with Josh Norman and the incident in the hotel room, the incident with the kicking nets.
Yes.
They're proposing to the kicking nets.
Yeah.
Being traded.
Yes.
And some other things. Mm-hmm. None of them were untrue. Mm. All actually, I believe, have accompanying video to validate that they actually happen. So this is not, they're not making things up. But Odell got very sensitive in his feelings about it, and he clapped back at Colin, which he has every right to do. And then Baker weighed in and like defended him and called Colin a clown, and you know, he's 26, his greatest moments are ahead of him. Now, my opinion of Odell and Baker and the Browns in general is different than Colin's. We're both excited about it, but I do think that they actually are going to be good this year, despite all of this noise. But my thing with the Browns is this. It's really not necessary to be so sensitive. Nothing that anyone is saying about the Browns is untrue. Nothing. Odell still has plenty of potential to be great. Baker has plenty of potential to be great. He's only in his second year. We don't know what Freddie Kitchens is. There's lots of other pieces there. Jarvis Landry. There's lots of other pieces there. You still finished in third place last year, okay? Nobody's holding that against you, all right? Most of all me, because I said Baker should have started from the beginning of the season. I don't know what the hell Hugh Jackson was doing there. It was a disaster. You set the entire season up for disaster from the very beginning. But let's just stop and pump the brakes with the being sensitive about people being critical of Cleveland. You have done nothing. You have accomplished nothing.
Joy.
All you have done is changed pieces and changed the coach. And stop. I'm not saying that you're going to improve. You did improve from last year, and you deserve credit for that. But pump the brakes with the whole nobody can say anything about the Browns thing. I mean, what the hell have the Browns done in the last 20 years that should merit any kind of discussion about us not talking about them? And as far as Colin talking about Odell, this is what we do. We talk about popular things. Nothing Colin said was untrue. Where's the lie?
Yes, but in the last 20 months, the Browns have done some winning. And you keep talking about where they finished off in the AFC North, one of the most competitive, tough divisions in the National Football League. You can talk about them finishing third, but let's talk about the wins that got them with that third place finish. Wins.
You finished better than the Bengals. Congratulations.
Before that, they won no games. They won no games. Like, this is like, it's a shit.
So you won more games than the Bengals.
They haven't done nothing.
Congratulations. Okay.
They tied your Steelers. Just letting you
Steelers
know.
Steelers had a terrible year.
Okay.
And then, guess what? The Steelers have no problem saying they had a terrible year. That's the difference. It was a bad year.
The Browns had a pretty good year considering. their history.
Okay, but that's my point. You are proving my point. I am very excited for the Browns this year. I can't wait to see Baker and Odell play together. I can't wait to see Baker and Jarvis Landry. I'm very excited to see what Freddie Kitchens does. I'm rooting for him, okay? Which is very weird to say because I generally hate the Browns.
Right.
And I'm not a big fan of Cleveland. I'm from Pittsburgh, okay? That said, everyone just stop being so sensitive. Like, it's enough already. Browns fans, like, people come at me on Twitter, and it takes everything I got. Like, it takes everything I got, okay? Because I've been trying to do better. I'm trying to do better, all right? I'm trying to be a better person and not clap back all the time. I had a bad week last week, but a lot was happening, okay? Yeah. So I just can't get involved with the Browns fans again. You know what I mean? We've been in a truce, and I'm trying to stay calm, yes. But it's, like, enough already.
Yeah, usually it takes a pretty well-worded tweet for your clap back. Now it's just, like, say one thing stupid.
Last week was not a reflection of my normal social media habits, okay?
Things happen in the world.
But I meant everything I said. Amen. So if you're upset about it, deal with it. Or if you don't unfollow. Like it, unfollow.
Yeah.
And I won't miss you. Mm-mm. And I mean that. For all of you that do following, we love you and appreciate your support.
Appreciate you, yeah. Really. We work really hard.
We do. We try to do a good show. Lose the power rankings. Lose the power rankings. These are the losers. The losers of the week. Okay, so the Giants. Mm. All right, so Pat Shurmur said that Eli was looking very good in his first day of practices. And then the beat writer for Newsday came out and said Eli went 1 for 6 with 2 picks. So they're still doing that thing where they're convinced that Eli Manning is snapping out of the thing that happens when you get old and you can't play sports anymore. And to add to that, Landon Collins, so they traded Odell, obviously, and Olivier Vernon. And they also let Landon Collins go. Mm-hmm. They also moved on from Snacks, who's a friend of the show. So mm-hmm. Landon Collins told ESPN, I know with myself, Snacks, Odell, Vernon, all we wanted to do was win. And we spoke up because we had to get them to listen to us. We had to get us winning pieces to help us at least be contenders. I think we were too vocal. If it's not good media, they don't want that kind of media. And Dave Gettleman, that's the GM, never even talked to me. Basically, I don't know him. He don't know me. That's kind of how it was.
Dang.
So the Giants are not getting any better than they were last year.
Mm-mm.
And like this always happens where players move on and then they talk about what was actually going on in the organization.
Right.
And Odell talked about this not too long ago where he was like, he snapped back at the fan and was like, I am a cancer to a locker room that doesn't want to win.
Right.
And it's kind of like not the best wording, but right. I understand what he was trying to say. And now Landon Collins is backing this up as well, where like the veteran guys who were passionate were being labeled as like, problems
mm-hmm.
when in reality they're just not okay with being mediocre and losing, which I've always found fascinating in the NBA when teams tank is like, how do you get into the mindset of like, it's okay, we're just going to lose every single night,
right?
And the reason why that doesn't work, and I'm not saying the Giants are tanking, obviously they're just okay with sucking.
Well, they're one of the few teams that got worse in the draft, so,
and they moved on from people like Odell and Landon Collins and Snacks and Olivier Vernon. Now, teams move on from good players all the time for various reasons, but it seems as if the Giants are like, no, we're going to be good. We know what we're doing, and everybody else doesn't know what they're doing. And that's just not the case. It's very dysfunctional there. It's disappointing because the NFL is better when the Giants are good,
mm-hmm.
and it seems like it's going to be a long time from that. And I've always felt like the tanking and the okay with being mediocre is a recipe for years and years, if not decades, of sadness and defeat. And a very unhappy fan base. Because the reality is you cannot just snap your fingers and create a winning culture. You cannot create, like, go through year to year with an organization and a team and let them know it's okay for them to just do the bare minimum, or it's, you know, we lost, but it's not that big of a deal because we're working towards this.
Mm-hmm.
Losing can never be acceptable because you can't walk in the room 6 months later and be like, we are now ready to be championship contenders. Think like a champion. Forget everything we said before. We're winners now. It's not how it works.
No.
So the Giants, still losers. Also, the other New York team, the Jets.
Mm.
So there was lots of noise about the Jets this week. Adam Gase, obviously, is the new head coach, and he had a not-so-flattering press conference. Everyone was very surprised about his bulging eyes, which I don't really care about because I don't get into what people look like. Also, I knew he had bulging eyes because he was in Miami. So it was just like news to everyone else. But that kind of has now added to his whole mystique with the Jets, like that whole
his
thing.
Craziness.
Right. And he took over as the interim GM because their GM was apparently not talking to him during the draft process, which seems insane. And then there was talks about he doesn't really want Le'Veon Bell, which obviously also seems insane. The bottom line is the Jets aren't any better either. Yeah. I'm not a huge Gase believer. I also don't think it's good when you have all these stories coming out about how you're not really good at what you do when you're just a young coach. Like, how did you make this many people angry this quickly? Like, it's not like Bill Belichick getting leaks about him, which he actually doesn't because he's so good. What can anyone say? I just think the Jets haven't gotten any better either, and I don't like all the noise coming from the Jets either. And finally, very important loser this week, Brooks Koepka. Why is he a loser, you ask? Well, aside from being incredibly boring, which I can say now because Colin said he was boring, and he loves boring. Yes. So if someone who loves boring says you're too boring, you're too boring. He gave a fist pump when he won. Yeah. And then he said that's the most excited he's ever been in his life. But...
we're all different.
This is really just a vehicle for us to discuss when it is appropriate or inappropriate to kiss your significant other in public.
Or ask for one.
Or ask for a kiss.
Because that is...
Now, I'm the wrong person to ask because I am a kiss-on-demand person, which Earl finds incredibly obnoxious and annoying.
It's not an option.
I'm very annoying in that regard. He will tell you all the time he cannot stand it.
Man.
But... I'm not this bad. So his girl's walking with him. Now, I thought it was at the end when he won. This clip that was being circulated on the internet.
Yes.
I thought it was at the end. It turns out it was at the beginning when he was walking out for competition. So if you haven't seen the video, this is the video. And so she kind of does like the lean in like, what?
It's a good luck kiss.
Ashley,
round,
no one can hear
round
you.
One, going into round one.
You know what? Yes. Hello, Ashley.
She said
it's good luck.
It's a good luck kiss?
Yeah.
No. So, when you're going
out there, you got to ask for good luck kisses.
No.
That should be the rule.
No. You have an understanding, okay? Right. If your significant other is someone who likes good luck kisses, then you give good luck kisses.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's not time for that. It's time for war, okay?
We're going into battle.
Yeah, we are not here for any type of affection at all. It's not
golf.
Okay. No.
That's his version of war.
Yes, I agree, but I also agree with Ashley on this one. It is just golf.
No,
he picked up golf because he was rehabbing from other more violent sports.
I don't
golf
care
was his
if
backup
it's bowling
plan.
Or if it's golf or if it is that silly nonsense they play at the tailgate with the beanbags. Cornhole.
Yes.
If we're going into competition, it's not kissy face time, okay? Afterwards, we can get all the smooches we want. But during and leading up to competition, it is not time for that.
A kiss before cornhole, actually. That's interesting.
Laser focus.
Yeah.
So everyone was kind of like making fun of her, like, oh, like he kind of like, kind of, you know, dissed her a little bit.
It wasn't
even
that bad of a stiff arm.
It was bad. Everyone knew that that's what she was trying to do.
He gave the, I didn't see it, and I'm turning this way.
He knew.
She shouldn't have been asking
for it.
Okay,
that's the point. All right? And like, I don't know. She seems like a nice lady. I don't know who she is, okay?
Yeah.
But she wanted a kiss from a man, and I understand that. But it's just not time for it. We have to be focused. We cannot allow any smidgen of distraction or affection. It is time for the flames in the eyes, okay? And we just can't do it. But afterwards, now I originally thought it was afterwards. And I was like, oh, he is getting the smoke when he gets home. But it wasn't. So I'm okay with it.
There's the multitude of ways you can be embarrassed by your significant others. Like, I don't even want to get started with it. At Notre Dame, I used to get embarrassed when, like, Michelle would ride by on a bike with her backpack on.
Why?
Leave for class early. You walk. I don't want to see my girlfriend riding around on campus on a bike.
What? She can't ride her bike?
I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. It's embarrassing.
Why can't she ride her bike?
All I'm saying is, I feel Brooks... I'd rather have the conversation. She has to walk.
She can't ride a bike. She has to walk.
If she does ride a bike, don't look my way. I'm not.
She's not supposed to acknowledge you while she's on the bike.
She can't walk by me and hit me on the back of the head and keep riding by. I remember this one time.
I was walking with Tyler. That story as what? If she was just like you are angry that she's riding a bike to class.
I am.
So
that's
are you angry that she's riding
NARPs
a bike?
NARPs ride to bikes. In between class, NARPs, non-athletic regular people. Michelle played basketball in high school. She's not a NARP. She should don't be on the bike. Get off the bike. And don't talk to me if you're on the bike. It's embarrassing. And one time she ride by, hit me in the back of the head, kept riding by. I was walking with Tyler Eifert. He said, "Who was that?" I was like, "It's my girlfriend."
That's why you're mad about it, because she embarrassed you in front of Tyler.
But I had talked to her about it before.
Good on you, Michelle. Get
off that bike. Don't get on the bike.
Hilarious.
Anyways, don't be asking for no damn kiss when I'm about to go into war and then you got television cameras on
me. Yeah, no. I'm with you. It's not the right time.
No.
Show of hands, it's the right time or non-right time. Right time. Ashley didn't think about it.
No one. No.
No, I just, I would have done it. But someone has to be anti your opinion, right?
Well, I'm sure there's like three people out there who think it's appropriate to be smooching before war.
For what it's worth, people interviewed her and she was like, I don't give a shit. She goes, I'm so not discreet. I'll just wave and he'll tip his hat. I'll blow him a kiss. I'm not trying to be too low key. If I see him and he sees me, I'm like, hi.
No, get out of here. If Michelle tried to kiss me before this started, I'd be like, babe, go. I got to think about
it. I am generally that kind of person.
She wanted a drive-by bike kiss.
But I'm fully aware of this.
Wait, so it's okay that she doesn't go in, but is it okay that he knows that she's going in, he still denies her? He should probably still kiss her instead of denying her on national television.
If he should have kissed her or not is another conversation. I think he played it right. No kisses. He would have won. He won too. Yeah, like
validates his no kiss.
Yes. Validates no kiss by winning another major.
I'm with you. That's another conversation. Because obviously, if I was in her shoes, I may have a completely different opinion. But I'm not. So this is where I'm at right now.
No bikes. Before competition.
No bikes. What are you talking about? All right. What is in the Migos Culture Report this week?
There is enough new music out to talk about, but I just want to say Game of Thrones takes over everything. Game of Thrones is officially over. Fans everywhere are weighing in on a historic television series that has been on the air since 2011. Mm. I have mixed emotions. Let's jump right into it. Joy, let's make a list of pros and cons about the series finales of Game of Thrones.
Okay, pro, it's over.
Okay, let's talk narrative-wise, pro and cons.
Okay. Pro,
and that actually, narratively, that actually is a good part about it, that it is over.
Pro, Tyrion's the winner, so I'm happy about that.
Thank you. I called him I said he'd be at the Iron Throne. This isn't it, but he decided who was going to be on Iron Throne.
You were closer than me. He's naming people. Because I thought that although Cersei lasted a long time.
Yes.
I thought that Cersei was going to end up winning.
Brick shower, like you said.
Yeah,
not very deep in the brick shower. Very shallow.
Yeah, very shallow.
Tyrion only had to move. He must have had intuition of where his siblings
also,
were.
Also, I feel like for the violence level, and this is just like my own disturbed thoughts,
yes.
But I feel like for the violence level of that show, should there be more damage?
Yes.
Anyway.
They should look purple under them rocks.
It's just like they were there for a while.
Sleep.
It was like a lot of heavy bricks.
Yeah. They just cuddling and going to... They died.
It's like, oh.
Yeah.
It's almost like they rolled out of the bricks. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway. I just feel like it's over. Like, I don't even know if I can make a list of things.
Yeah.
I'm glad that the Starks ended up where they were supposed to be, I guess. I just have issues with Jon. I'm glad Jon Snow killed her, but then I'm also like, can they just let the woman win? Why can't she... Like, why is it...
That's good.
Because I tried to not get on that bandwagon when she snapped. Because as soon as she snapped, I knew she was gonna die. Because there's just it can't happen.
Yeah.
You can't burn the entire city and then live.
Yeah.
But here's like the bigger picture of all this Game of Thrones stuff, because mm-hmm. the fans have completely lost their minds.
Yes.
All right.
And demanding another season.
Demanding another season.
Or redo of this season. Which when has that ever happened?
It's like walking into a museum and being like, I am starting a petition to have all these artists redo their work. And then getting a million people to sign it. Because you all are idiots.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Entitled idiots.
5 minutes that you took out of your life to go sign up for whatever website you did and sign that petition, you'll never get it back. At the end of your life, you'll be laying on your deathbed wondering why you wasted that 5 minutes instead of spending it with your family, wasting your time signing that stupid Game of Thrones petition. It is art. It's not going to be redone, okay? For more reasons than I even care to explain to get into the technical side of it, who are you?
It's not even that important of a thing.
It's not important. It's over. It had to be wrapped up. The end of seasons, the end of big series, everyone always complains about. They all have these ideas about how they feel like this story that someone else is telling you should end. This isn't a pick-your-own-adventure book. It's a television show. Just relax. Enjoy it for what it is. This is why people hate Game of Thrones nerds. You sound like CrossFit goofballs.
Yeah.
Nobody cares.
No.
No one cares that you did CrossFit today. No one. I don't know one. The only person that cares is you and the other people that were CrossFit with you. Tell them. Start a small CrossFit Instagram community and tell yourselves. No one cares.
Yeah. No, there's a... Okay. I haven't said it. No one has really said it. We're beating around the bush. Game of Thrones and the uproar about this season is dripping in white privilege.
I just want to say that. You haven't been the only person to say that, and you're totally right. And I felt that at the end.
Okay.
I was like, why can't Grey Worm talk? Why doesn't Grey Worm have a vote? He's in charge of the whole army. Right now, you could just send his army in here. All you're dead.
And there's no, this like last meeting for the council to decide what to do. It's like, wait a minute, was no raven sent out? Like, everybody was just on their way to King's Landing.
Right, how did everybody get here so quickly?
The amount of scenes that were skipped.
But it's the ends, you know what I mean? So I'm fine with it.
And the Drogon was, as all Game of Thrones fans just want to see that throne just melt.
Yeah, we're done with the throne.
And just get, just...
He spoke for all of us.
Just
burn that thing down. That bitch gotta go.
I was mad when they was doing the Red Keep. I was like, y'all know y'all gonna ruin the throne. Like, the throne is under the rock. Why didn't the rocks kill the throne?
I like that he had a little Mufasa moment with Khaleesi, though.
Oh, yeah. I really
felt bad.
Did you?
I felt bad for the dragons, his mama.
Yeah.
They've been through a lot together. They've been through wars together, legit.
Yeah, no, they've been through it.
Anyway, I'm glad it's over. We're done with it.
Yeah.
I would just like to say one last time to everybody who didn't watch Game of Thrones, your loss. You missed out on the experience of a lifetime. I know everyone is the non-Game of Thrones. They can, but they're not going to get the experience that we had.
Yes.
And they're going to come to us 5 years from now like, you know, I just couldn't believe that Jon Snow came back. Like,
yes.
We've been there, okay? You're 5 years too late. But the point of the matter is, you're not cooler than us because you didn't choose to partake in this experience. Right. It was just your choice. And I respect it because it's a huge life investment.
Yes.
A lot of time, a lot of hours, a lot of thinking, a lot of discussions. So I fully respect your choice not to.
Yeah.
Respect my choice to watch it. And that's all that I ask.
Now we got to move on.
And I don't know what other show there is to watch.
Yeah, suggestion? What do you throners do with your Sunday nights now?
Oh, his darker materials are, there's some
you
stuff
realize,
coming out.
You realize, like, the seasons were only 10 episodes long. For most of the year, we had to find things to do with our Sunday nights.
And a year in between each episode.
Also, they're only
season.
An hour to an hour 20 minutes, so the Sunday night thing is a little bit
exaggerated.
Yeah, but
that's an hour you're getting back. For the last, 8 weeks you didn't have it? You gonna do anything?
I'm starting my book.
Yeah.
Yeah, I too am reading a book.
No, writing one.
Oh, you're going to write a book?
Yeah, just start writing a book with my Game of Thrones time. That's a lot of time. Get back. Over all these years.
Good for you.
Imagine how long I'd be X amount of years into the book.
Imagine if you were working out for that hour.
Exactly.
That's a good idea, too.
No, I feel like it was a good investment in my time. I enjoyed myself. I enjoyed my Game of Thrones journey.
Yeah.
I have no regrets.
Every snack I had during every show.
Yeah.
Like, just great.
Every healthy discussion about the show was worth it. Rest in peace to Game of Thrones.
Right.
And
I don't like that. They took a shot at democracy in the last episode. Remember, Tully came and was like, what if everyone gets a vote?
Do you remember when we went back to the white privilege thing?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, come on, guys. HBO, thanks. Thanks, HBO. We say thanks.
Didn't say thanks.
It's not TV. It's HBO. You know
what I mean? All right. Thanks for joining us this week. Thank you to Kendrick Perkins for coming on and keep it 100.
Yes.
Calling out. Calling he has some things to say.
Yeah.
For real. I liked it. Make sure that you subscribe on YouTube and Maybe I'm Crazy Podcast.
Please.
And follow us on all of our social media pages at Maybe I'm Crazy Pod.
Please.
Newman Show 99,
yes.
Joy Taylor Talks.
Yes.
And make sure you check out the update with Brandon Newsman on Friday mornings just to get you updated on all the stories that happened throughout this week.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks for joining us. Catch you next week.
Bye.
Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm not.